just like it was mentioned by Pastor Charlie a few moments ago, when you come to any meeting, if you don't come seeking, you get nothing. It's not the person who is speaking, it's the heart that's seeking that makes the difference. Inside there we had Pastor Sid and Pastor John Hall, and obviously helped a little bit by the women, prepared all that fantastic food for us. If you don't go with an appetite, you don't enjoy the meal. But if you have an appetite, you enjoy the meal. Even if it's burnt, you still enjoy it. And so if you come to a meeting like this, if you don't come with an appetite to learn God's word, doesn't matter who is speaking, you get zip out of it. Nothing. And so you can daydream and sleep and dream about something different later on. It's up to you. But to come to a meeting where God's word is being spoken, not to get something from it, that's your fault. Okay, I can stuff up big time, you can still be blessed. Because we open the Bible and there's the word of God. And the word of God is always fantastic. Sometimes, here's a secret. I've gone to a meeting and the preacher wasn't really that prepared. He wasn't that good. But the text was fantastic. So I tuned off from him and I wrote my own message while he was speaking. It was a great message, fair dinkum. I preached it later on. I'm thinking, what a shame. That guy missed it. So if you come ready, you always get something. Honestly. I want to turn your attention, please, tonight to 1 Chronicles 6:16. When Pastor Charlie mentioned the theme, I thought, give thanks, fair dinkum, give thanks, mate. What was I going to say about that? As I started looking into it, there's heaps about it. I just try and hold back and cut back. There's so much in this topic, and it's so needful. 1 Chronicles 16, I want to read from verse 7 to 36. 1 Chronicles 16:7-36. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvellous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed one the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvellous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honour are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, The Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that there is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel for ever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reading of your word. May you excite our hearts at the contemplation that we learn more about thee. In Christ's name we thank you and pray. Amen. The context over here is King David. And King David, he was a man who had his ups and downs in life, but like everyone else has. As a young person, he loved the Lord, stayed close with God. And God gave him grace to kill a lion and kill a bear that threatened his flock. God gave him faith to approach a giant called Goliath. God anointed him to be the next king of Israel. And God gave him grace with the king at that time to become a captain in the army of Saul's army, to become a son-in-law. But then things turned sour because of envy and jealousy, and he became an outlaw. His life was threatened. His father-in-law tried to kill him, tried to chase him day and night. He went from hiding place to hiding place in caves and in forests, and finally he went to the land of the Philistines and lived in deception or a lie for nearly about 1 year and a few months to stay away from King Saul. Finally, King Saul died. He got the message, he can come back to Israel. And he came back. And over there, he became king. The first 7 years, there was fights backwards and forward with the northern tribes of Israel as Abner tried to raise up a son of Saul to be king. And 7.5 years, he's fighting backwards and forwards. And finally, that time is over. He's king of all Israel. And what happens now? Philistines come against him. He had to fight those guys off one time, two time. Then he sensed there's peace over here. So what he did, he realized there's no success or victory in life without God's presence. He thought, I'm over here in Jerusalem. In Kirjath-Jearim, there's the ark of God's presence. Over here, fellas, bring it over here to us. So they start to bring the ark over to them, but they do it the wrong way. They don't do it biblically. They follow the way of the Philistines, and they fail completely. A guy called Uzzah dies, and then David has the ark go to a guy called Obed-Edom, a Levite. It stays there for a while. And he hears 3 months, God's blessing that man like anything because of the presence of the ark there. And David says, find out how we can bring this thing over here, will you? And they read the Bible. What do you know? They get instruction from God's word. Wow, how unusual. And so they bring the ark in the way they're supposed to. And as they're bringing it in, David is so anticipating of joy and joy and joy, he gets his psalm written. Now this psalm over here is actually 4 different psalms we have in our book of psalms. Some people say they were already written. Some people say he wrote bits and pieces. It doesn't matter. There are 4 psalms out of scripture that he pulled out. Now, with this 4 psalms, ask yourself, why did he pick these 4? He picked 4 different psalms already present, took part of this one, part of that one, part of this, part of that, and put them all together. Why? Do you think he just put him in a hat and just juggled it around and closed his eyes and pick out different scriptures? Or maybe there's a purpose involved. If there's a purpose, that might help us understand what this passage is about. So I want you to think tonight that here we have a great, wonderful expectation. God's presence has come amongst us. What do you want to say? How would you respond thinking, God is coming here and you're going to sing praise to his name? What would you say? Man, you want to think very, very closely what you want to say. Why? You want to honour God. And so we find over here in this passage, the first segment comes from Psalm 105, verse 1 to 15, and that's in verses 8 to 22. So if you in your own time go to Psalm 105, you read those 15 verses, think, man, that's the same as this. Maybe not word for word, but it's the same as this. Think, wow, this is fantastic. Now, this first section over here, he says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Now, what he's going to say is here, look back over your life, what every single thing God has done to bring you where you are now. Give thanks to his name. Now you stop and think what's happened to you. I know how old you are. Nowhere near as old as me. I see more than you have in life. But you think about your whole life, what you've gone through, what you've done. The failings, the miseries, the successes, the mistakes, the sins. Oh, man, the sins, the things that disgust your very thought. And how God took you all through that mess completely to where you are right now. And God says, now you praise his name for that. Why? Because you're here. You could be in jail somewhere. You could be in roadkill somewhere. You could mess your life up completely. You could be in sin somewhere. And look where you are now. Don't whinge for what you haven't got. Praise God for what you have got. That's a secret. Puts a smile on your dial. Whinges. Praises. You'll be a praiser, not a whinger. There's always something to complain about, isn't there? There's always something you haven't got. There's always something more you want. There's always something you've failed in. Always. I mean, we're human, aren't we? That means we're failures. So if you focus on the negative all the time, you're just sour and bitter and yuck. But if you focus on God, on his goodness and what he's done for you, There's always optimism. Not empty stuff, not fake stuff, genuine. Absolute genuine. So in this passage over here, David looks back at the time of Abraham and the promise he made to Abraham, given then through his son Isaac, and then through Jacob, and the way God led him from Egypt right down through the wilderness, and all their failings completely, and their miserable whingings all the time, but God was faithful all the way through to bring them through the land of Canaan, and through Joshua they destroyed all the enemies over there. Now they have their own homes, their vineyards, they've got their incomes over there, their families, all the rest of stuff. Wonderful. This is God's doing. And they stop and think, we are here because of God. Man, isn't that cause of praise? Isn't that cause of praise? So we find the very beginning of this passage, there's a duty of praise. Give thanks unto God, call upon his name, sing praises to him, glory him. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek him, seek him, seek him. God loved Israel. God delivered Israel. So it's Israel's duty to praise God. God loved David. God delivered David. God spared David. So David's duty to praise the Lord. And God loves the world. Now, sometimes we look in the Old Testament and think, oh, God is biased. He just loves Israel. No way. Israel is simply a picture for the whole world. And God says, I'll show you how I feel about the whole world. Here's one nation called Israel. And this nation over here is very small. And God never picked them for their greatness and their faithfulness. No way. I reckon God looked at the most basest of people and picked them as an example. He said, now, I'll show you what I'll do with these people over here. The way I'm going to bless them mightily. I'm going to give them laws. I'll give them covenants. I'll give them a priesthood. I'll give them all these different blessings, all these different promises. I'll be with them with power. Now you can see what I'll be like with any people that make me their God. Now have a look. And God makes them conquerors, and under King David and King Solomon, the glorious kingdom on earth. You see what people can be like if they follow me, if I'm their God? You can see that? Amen. And so God picks these base people and does great things through them. Now, God loves the whole world because Israel is supposed to be witnesses to the whole world, a testimony to the whole world. So as people look on, they'll desire the God of Israel, not these empty, dumb idols. So you stop and think in your whole life, everything you've gone through, the roots, your troubles, your problems, how God spared you from this problem, that one, this one, that one, give him thanks. One person once, trying to teach about contentment, asked the congregation, what would you ask for if God wanted to give you something today? What would you ask for? You know, pretend you're in the time of Solomon, and God says, Solomon, what can I give you? What's one thing I can give you? And Solomon said, oh, give me wisdom. Oh, it's a good one, it's a good one. What would you want today if God asked you? If God said, I want to give you something today, what would you ask for? What is it? Is it position, money? Is it success? What would you ask for? I mean, to say wisdom, okay, we know the Bible says that. But what else? What else do you want besides that? Now, usually, when we start asking for stuff, it's a sign of discontent. Why? If I was content in God, I'd say, God, I'm happy with your provision, and when you think I need more, you give me more. Full stop. Now, that's a person who's content. That's a person who can say, thank you, Lord. You see, we don't need more provisions to say, thank you, God. We don't need more comfort and more success. We don't need that. We have God. What else do you need? You can't go wrong with that. So if you know without a shadow of a doubt, you've got Christ in your life, God is with you, his presence is with you, you've got nothing to complain about. Because you have everything you need. In the wilderness, Israel walked around for some 40 years. Dirt and dust every single day. Heat, heat, heat. Trials, trials. God was with them. They could see the cloud by day and fire by night. God was with them. The shoes never wore out. The clothes never wore out. Now, that's God's presence. And when the rock opened up and flowed and rivers of water flowed out, every morning go out there and pick some bread off the ground that God left for you. And so evidence of God's presence was there completely. So you stop and think, all my life, look at all the evidence of God's presence was there. You could have died in a car accident. You know, he messed up one time. I was just a kid, dumb as can be, like anybody else. I had a push bike, I had no brakes. I mean, back then, brakes never worked anyway. And so, hey, there's no brakes. I'm on the cliffs at La Perouse, and down, I'm going from Maroubra to La Perouse on the cliffs over there. And I'm riding down, and the bike's going down top of this cliff. and I'm just freezing because right next to me there's about a cliff about 2 metres away, and I'm going toward it, and I'm thinking, what's going to happen now? The front wheel falls down the pothole, turn around, I fall back. Look over the edge. It's a big way down. I've had so many dumb things happen to me. Once I'm coming down in Kingsford, where my home is, and I was coming down this Rainbow Street, great big massive hill, come down toward Kingsford Shopping Centre, and the bike's going as fast as can be, this push bike. Now, when a kid doesn't have brains, okay? He just does what he wants to feel like doing. The car in front of me, we all know that, okay? It's no secret. Car in front of me decides to stop. It wants to turn to some garage, into some driveway or something. In the other lane, cars come this way. And I'm thinking, this guy's going to stop. This guy's coming this way. As I was thinking, I blacked out for an instant. When I came to, I was in front of that car. I was going to turn left. I don't know how. I was thinking, there's a pole over there. That'll stop me, all right. But I didn't know how. I blanked out for this instant, a split second, and I got to when I was in front of the other car. Now, so many things have told me I could have been dead on the road somewhere. But God, by His grace, spared me. Why? Man, God has a purpose. So, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. You should stop and thank Him. You guys who are married, you should thank your wives, you know, that God gave you that woman. You thank God for the woman you have. I mean, who else will put up with you, huh? So it's good to thank God for your partners. When you have kids, those little whingers, those complainers, and those little sponges, praise God for them. Today, they give you heaps. Later, ha-ha, you get it back from them. Later, they have children, and you get it back from them. They say grandkids are parents' revenge. They're very, very, very true. We stop and think, God is so good to us that there's no possibility that we could ever, ever, ever do anything but praise His name. That's the first part we have in this psalm. Let me come on to the second part. And in verses 23 to 33, this comes from Psalm 96, verse 1 to 13. And this is a missionary psalm. Here we find God's great heart for the world. Now, it's one thing for God to love His people, but it's another thing for God to love all people. Now, when you love your own people, that's one thing. Well, they're my people, they're the same heart, and I do good to them, they do good to me, type of thing. When you love those who don't love you, that's different. And here we find God's heart, where God loves the whole world. In 23, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvellous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and great to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, or all idols, all rulers. In this psalm over here, God demonstrated His great love. Now you stop and think, in the Old Testament, we have an example with Jonah. And Jonah was told to go to a really wicked city called Nineveh, a capital of the Assyrian Empire. And this wicked, wicked people are going through the land, destroying and conquering people after people. I mean, murdering, raping, pillaging, everything under the sun. And very, very fearful, scared of no one, having no mercy at all. Man, woman, child, no problem. And they're coming closer and closer to Israel. And God says to Jonah, I want you to go to these people over here and preach to them. And he thinks, nah, nah. Because if I go there and preach, if they repent, you'll forgive them and they'll stay there. But if I shut up and say nothing, you go and judge them, you destroy them. I want the enemy destroyed, not spared. So he gets up and goes the opposite direction. And God calls him back. Gets a great big storm, a great big fish, and brings him back. Says, Jonah, go that way. Go to those people and do the preaching I told you to. So he goes over there. He's not preaching by faith, I guarantee you. Just the flesh. And he's not saying, please come to the Lord. In 40 days, it'll be destroyed. He maybe said it very softly so they wouldn't hear him. But in any case, he walked backwards and forward, the one little message, and went out of town and sat down, waited and waited and waited. He knew what God was like, full of mercy, full of compassion. Now, Nineveh was absolutely wicked, but went from the king in the palace right down to that little maid in the stable somewhere. They all repented completely in sackcloth and ashes. God spared them. That's the heart of God. Now, what did these people do? What good works they do? None. They feared the judgment of God and repented. That's all. They didn't say, promise, cross my heart, hope to die, won't do it again. No, they repented. They repented and God spared them completely. And Jonah, that wonderful saint of God, got angry and got bitter and upset. Didn't want to talk to God anymore. Why? Because you didn't kill him. You should have killed him, God. And God said, hey. There's over 120,000 kiddies over there. Don't even know they're right here from the left. I mean, these are people I created with my image and likeness. Shouldn't I care for them? He got very upset. He whinged over one plant that died as opposed to a whole city that God spared. Now, God, in his heart, he loved the unsaved. And so when we go around thinking, this God of ours, a wonderful Lord who loves the world, this God of ours is so, so great that you can see his eternal power and Godhead in nature and creation. I mean, he's put his name out there in the stars. Look around the world today, you see, it's so vast. You think, there's got to be a God somewhere. Go for a walk at night, stick your head up and have a look at how vast everything is. And ask yourself, where'd it come from? And you keep on looking at it as far as you want. Don't matter how far you get it, the most powerful telescope under the sun, go as far as you want, and it still goes further and further and further and further and further. There's no end to it. I mean, where'd all this come from? God. How did it come? He spoke. It happened. You can get an idea of how great God is by looking at creation. Now, very, very plainly, God's love for the world is absolutely immense. Yet the Bible says, the Lord reigneth, verse 31. Now, this is beautiful because if God so loved the world and most of the world are going to reject him and they're going to do the opposite of what God wants, they're going to try and follow Satan, you're thinking, now, hold on. God still reigns no matter what happens on this earth. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, but God is over him. And I get so much comfort no matter how much you hear this world going crazy. I mean, crazy and stupid and foolish in every way possible. God is still reigning. Now, did you enjoy the news when they, in Australia, and all their so-called wisdom voted in homosexual marriage? Did you rejoice? Oh, yippee, that's wonderful. We think, oh, how sickening. I mean, it makes your stomach stir that you feel so sorry and sick. Can you imagine what type of lives they're going to lead? Can you imagine the people, their children are going to adopt, have two mummies and two daddies, their problems are going to go through in life? Can you imagine the prisons will be overfull in the future and there's so many needs of psychologists and psychiatrists and counsellors because of people that are sick and depraved and just confused? It's sorrowful. You feel really sick about it. And the whole problem with gender today, where people don't know if they're coming or going, male or female, it, masculine, feminine or neuter, who knows what they are. Now, this is today. And they think they're being progressive. They think they're improving. But they're going down the spout, the road of corruption. Right. Now, God is still in control. That's what gives me peace. Otherwise, I'd want to jump off the bus somewhere. God is still in control. God is still reigning. Understand this, honestly. If you didn't believe God was reigning, I'd get a gun and go shoot somebody. I'd find someone and just bang until someone kills me. You go crazy. People are going crazy today. But when you know God is in control, hey, step back. He knows what he's doing. God can put his finger on the button and finish them straight away. No worries. Great big massive nation called Babylon. Rule the whole world one day and extinguish the next. Like a little candle. Gone. That's all God has to do. Done. So we have no fear. So if God's in control, thank you, Lord. Man, I would not be on planet Earth if God wasn't in control. People today are fearing having children. Why? I don't want to bring kids in this world today. Hey, God is here today. Bring your kids in. God is here. Bring them in. Don't worry about whatsoever, one little bit. Christ is here to save them. God is here to protect them. Don't fear one little bit. Not one. Then we come down to verse 34. This actually is the reason why I came to this psalm at the very beginning. I was looking in this message on giving thanks. And again, 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 I will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. This occurs in four or five different psalms, the exact same wording. This comes from Psalm 107, verse 1. And this is absolutely beautiful, because if you stop and think, it says, give thanks for one reason only. What's that? God is good. No matter what happens, God is good. I'm on the receiving end of God's chastening hand. Ooh, God is good. You're in trials. God is good. Everything's going great. God is good. Everything's going bad. God is good. Now, when you think God is good, then nothing bad comes to me. Because in God's mind, he knows everything has a purpose. I was reading about Hudson Taylor's life once and his spiritual secrets. And so blessed I bought this 2-volume set of his whole life and read it. Absolutely beautiful. And there's one point there where he marries his wife Mary and really in love with her, and they're a miracle relationship together, where God brought them together, and they're partners in ministry, their husband and wife, their mum and dad, everything possible. They're one in the Lord. Every way possible, they're one. And then it comes to the point where he can sense his sickness in China. She's going to die. He's there nice and calm, and he's saying, Mary, God's going to call you home very soon now. She's saying, but I feel great. Says, yeah, but I know the symptoms. He's a medical doctor. God's going to call you home very soon now. And then when she dies, he's there on his knees before God, and he's giving thanks for all the wonderful years he had with his wife. And I'm thinking, wow. Man, tears are coming to my eyes. And man, I'm like cold as can be. Nothing makes me teary. But tears come to my eyes as I read about him, how he gives so much genuine thanks to God. I've had all these beautiful years with her. Thank you, Lord. You gave me more than I deserve. Thank you, Lord. There's a spiritual person. There's a guy who recognized that God is good. Absolutely. Now, he lost child after child. Never prayed like that. But when his wife died, just on his knees, a broken man, physically, but in his heart, got stronger and stronger and stronger. So we come before God and say, God, you're good. You know something, Lord? I'm the bad one. I'm the one who is sinful. I have the sinful nature, not you. I'm the one who craves fleshly things. I'm the one who is rebellious and bitter, and I'm the one who is sinful. I'm the one who wants to do wrong things. I'm the one who is greedy and selfish. That's me. You're good. And because you're good, the Bible says, his mercy endureth forever. Now, mercy, that word means God withholds judgment that we rightly deserve. Because God is good, we are bad. He has every right to judge us, but he doesn't, because he's merciful. When we come to God on the side of his forgiveness, he forgives us. When Peter came to Jesus, he said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? Till 7 times. And Christ said, till 70 times 7. Every time we come to God with a genuine, I'm sorry, Lord, I blew it again. Forgiven. And again, forgiven. And again, forgiven. His mercy endures forever. How come? Well, Christ paid for our sins. He died on the cross. Paid in full. Amen. Absolutely. Not one sin against us ever again. All paid for. And there's nothing there. So you think, boy, if there's only one reason I have to thank you, Lord, it's because you are good. And the way you act with me is merciful all the time. By the way, I'm rushing through this thing because I understand we started past the hour of 8 o'clock, and people kind of feel like tea and coffee this time. Tea, brother. So I'm going through fairly quickly. But in any case, there's no hassle. You've got the Bible in front of you. So the first point over here, we thank God because of the fact that we are here today by his grace and goodness. Amen. Okay? We thank God, secondly, because he loves the world and he's ruling. He's the boss. He's in charge. Thirdly, we thank God because he's good. Man, that's it. God is good. Don't you ever whinge. God is good. Think about Israel in the wilderness. You know, if they weren't so much like us, I'd say they were really dumb. Because Israel in the wilderness, they were in Egypt, in slavery, in bondage, crying, set us free, God. He sets them free, and they whinge, so they want to go back to Egypt again. Why? Freedom's too hard. Isn't that smart? Now, if you want to whinge, you can whinge, no problems. But it's so dumb. We got no right to whinge. Then we come finally, with verse 35 and 36. This comes from Psalm 106, verse 47 and 48. They're the last two verses of Psalm 106. Here you have Israel's long history of sin and God's absolute, extraordinary, long suffering and grace. Now, I get so sick and tired of confessing the same sin again and again and again to God. But he doesn't get sick and tired of hearing it. Not once. When you're battling a sin and you're failing and failing and failing and failing and bang, 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 and you're sick and tired of saying it, God's never sick and tired of hearing it. And you realize, boy, God is long-suffering. His goodness and grace is with us at all times. So we find that David comes before God. The Ark of Jerusalem is coming into Jerusalem. He's singing and praising God. And he's thinking, Lord, I'm here today because your goodness towards me. I was back over there taking care of sheep. Then you gave me grace to fight a lion and a bear. I didn't realize what I was against, but man, you gave me victory against them. And that giant, if I think about it today, he's so big, Lord. Then later on, Saul comes after me and you spare me. I'm hiding with the Philistines and you spare me. I'm fighting war after war and you spare me. And now I'm king. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for my life. Then he says, Lord, not just me, but you love all people, all nations, and you're ruling in heaven above. I've got no fear what people can do because you're ruling. And I thank you because you are good. And you're so, so, so full of mercy and long-suffering and grace. Now, when you think about all God is, do we have a right to whinge? No. So the theme of this camp in everything, give thanks. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, each session will have thanksgiving as part of the theme. We won't cross over old territory. We'll be on new stuff all the time. And looking forward to this, the teaching of it, because I was really blessed as I was preparing this material. So much so, I want to keep on staying in the theme. I'm not finished, brother. I want to keep on going. We only got 5 messages on this area. There's heaps more you can do. Heaps, heaps, heaps more. Without crossing over old territory. It's such a beautiful theme. And the whole idea is this. No one likes a whinger. That's not faith. You never ever whinge in faith. That's not possible. Okay? We always praise God in faith, no matter our circumstances. So in everything give thanks. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's bow for prayer.